This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And you can look us up on Cable Bahamas 969. And you can listen in to the broadcast of this show. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you who take this time out to listen to Inside Inner City, and many of you who I meet on a daily basis. It's just remarkable and humble to all of the people who I end up meeting as I travel. It's always a pleasure to hear the compliments coming from them about the show and how it's making a great impact. And it's a really nice show, and it's all about the Bahamian people and the problems we face and finding a solution. And in all due respect, many of them told me it's exactly what we need to be talking about. And many of the solutions that we're talking about on this show is actually many of the solutions for the country. So I want to say thank you to each and every one of you, and I hope you enjoy the show today. Today, I'm going to try to do my best. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about, is the Bahamas still is a Christian nation? And that's going to be our topic today. Then I'm going to play some videos, three at least, and one is going to show you the consequences of what happens to you when you don't abide by God's rule. In other words, I mean the Ten Commandments is 40, and if you decide to be a vulgar nation, you know, do what you want, you know, and don't expect no type of punishment, there's parts in the great book and throughout history, knowledge has been passed on about what happened to those nations and countries that who decide to live a vulgar life. Vulgar life being having orgies, have no respect for children, just a lot of fornication, no principle for God, no principle for man, just doing what you want to do. And just like a wild beast on earth, you know, and have no principle and no morals. And I want to talk about that. But before we begin, I just want to say I hope this topic today can get a lot of you involved. I started off just a little bit, and I'd like to hear your comments on, is the Bahamas still a Christian nation? Because, you know, when you listen to the radio, you listen to the TV, all you hear is when persons around the country who are pastors or persons who aren't even who are Christians, you know, they'd all speak about this Jesus, they'd speak about God, and, you know, and are we following the guideline of Christ? Are we doing what Christ did and what God commanded us to do, or are we having this Christianity in our own image to please our congregation, to please ourselves? Well, I hope we have a good conversation today, and I try my best to do and have a wonderful conversation. So I want to thank each and every one of you. So where are we going to start off? Okay. We're going to start off. All right. The reason I decided to have this show today is because, like I said, you know, is the Bahamas still a Christian nation? And reason for saying that is because of all of the crime happening in our country, all of the sexual abuse that is happening in our country, all of the divorce that is happening in our country, all of the same-sex relationship with man to man, woman to woman, and it's even in our schools where we've seen our school children, you know, females and especially females walking together, holding hands, two females, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, 10th grade, walking, holding hands in our country, which is everyone right to do, how I should say it, it's everyone right to choose their lifestyle. But is it right for us to indoctrinate it in our society? That type of life is a private life, and I'm not knocking on nobody, okay? But it's happening so rapidly in our country, and I'm wondering where are our Christians to speak on these things. You know, it's in our school, you know? And all of this is causing all the crime problem in our country because we completely lose identity. Now, I'm not knocking nobody. I'm talking about all the scenarios. And then you add poverty onto that. And poverty is the main reason, because the Father himself says to all the Christians, says, if you do the least you do for the poor, you do for me. So this is my guideline. You know, I don't take context out of the Bible. I take context that is relevant. I have a conversation on that. It is a short comment, but it covers a lot. It covers everything. Because the Father says, God himself says, the least you do for the poor, you do for me. Okay? So he's saying if you praising him, don't worry about praising him. Do something for the poor, you know? And that's praising him. You understand? So with all this happening in our country, and hearing a lot of people say that we're a Christian nation and under God, and you can't get to heaven unless you go through Jesus Christ, which in, if you really follow the history, his name is not actually Jesus Christ. It's actually Yahshua. And the Father's name is Yahweh. And when the European came, they changed the context of the words and they switched it in their language. And they call it God, meaning Yahweh, Jesus, meaning Yahshua. And that's why I say we can't be serious when we say we're a Christian nation, because we don't know who we are as a people. You know, when we read the Bible and we read the scriptures and you hear all of these pastors preaching, do we know that the Bible is actually speaking about us as an individual? Walking around the wilderness for 40 years, came with the bondage. Father sent Moses, who was a black man, to negotiate with Pharaoh, who was a European, to let his people go. Do we know that's us that they are speaking about? Do you know that Samson was a black man and this is in the scriptures? Do you know that Jesus was a black man? Do you know that King David was a black man? Do you know that when you're preaching, reading the text out of the Bible is specifically talking about each and every one of us who is here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? In Jamaica, in Trinidad, even those who are the father's enemy, not man enemy, but the father's enemy. And that's the European who are in that cult. Not all Europeans, it's the cult, you know, that despises God, that still have their programs in place, that we as a country should not indoctrinate into our society. And that's passing bills for, like, same-sex marriage. Equal rights for, like I said, not discriminating. But these are God's words. These are not my words. These are the things that the Father, who the Christians read the book, these are some of the things he despises. He doesn't hate nobody. He just hates the culture of the individual. You understand what I'm saying? Female to female, male to male, you know? All of these things. It's a very tricky thing in this country. Yeah, I hope we know that. And a lot of people is not believing the words of the book because it has been manipulated. The characters has been switched, you know? Because, like, a prime example is Samson. The Bible gives a clear example of Samson. So the people who don't believe that the Bible is real and that the Europeans wrote it, they may have, but they still wasn't able to take out the truth. Because you can't hide the truth. You just have to read and understand that when you see a white doctrine of somebody who represents John the Baptist, John the Baptist was not white. So I use my imagination, I use the wisdom and understanding God has given me, and I imagine John the Baptist as a black man. Then I imagine the European as the Romans, Greco-Romans, who were pale-skinned and loved weapons and loved to kill. And I imagine them. You understand? So I imagine John preaching Pontius Pilate. And so I get the characters right. So I put it in my mind and I read the books. And then I read about Christianity. And before Christianity came around, we were believers. Before the invasion of Alexander the Great, who was a Greek. And when he invaded, he destroyed all the books and all of the knowledge. And that was us when he came and he conquered. Because God people were always attacked. You know? Because that's a line of people that God chose who couldn't be broken. You know? They were not vengeful people. They were kind-hearted people. And they keep the covenant of God and keep the principle in that tribe, and they keep connection with God. Other tribes didn't keep a connection. Other tribes worshiped different gods, did human sacrifice, did orgies, and did everything that was abomination to God. So he blessed the nation, and, you know, after a while, we became corrupt ourselves, and then because of that, he told us what was going to happen to us. And he said that we would be captive in our own land, slaves in our own land, because of King David and what he did, you know, to Uriah, his soldier. Having outside children when the father told him not to have seeds outside the line that would keep the covenant. So it's us they're talking about. And with all this crime and violence in our country, I wonder if our citizens of the Bahamas know that the Bible speaks about each and every one of you. I want to say this to each and every one of you listening now to me. I'm no pastor. I'm no priest. But I want to say this to each and every one of you. The greatest and most read book in the history of mankind talks about each and every one of you who are in the Bahama land. It's you when you have a King David, when you have a Saul, when you have a Moses, when you have a King David, when you have an Elijah, and all of these great men and great women, they were your ancestors. And I think that's where we're going lost in this country. And what has happened, right, is when Alexander the Great came in, he changed the whole concept. He saw that after a while that his own society and his own citizens were becoming believers themselves. So he had no choice but to indoctrinate the believers into Christianity. At the same time, they introduced their pagan ways. So we were getting this Christmas and Easter and Halloween and all this stuff, and Valentine's. They are pagan religion. That's why I asked if we're a Christian nation, because we really read in the book. And we're pastors, and we talk, and we read this book, and we say we're a Christian nation. But yet still, we're reading the book, and we don't even understand the complex of the book. And the book is talking with us, and we're doing the revoice. What I mean the revoice? The revoice of this whole thing is the fact that many of you unknowingly serve the same entity that crucified John the Baptist, that crucified Christ, that persecuted all the believers in the history of mankind and your ancestors. You serve. Because you look at the Roman Catholic Church and you follow their history that was formed by Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was persecuting the believers who we call Christians. Do you all know that? Do you all read? And that system is still around today. So if people say those things didn't happen, well, here's a prime example, they happen. Our government system today is set up no different than the time of the crucifixion of Christ. Pontius Pilate was a governor. He was a governor appointed by the emperor who was in Rome to a conquered land that they conquered. So he's appointed governor. He leaves from Rome to go to Judea. And in Judea, he became the governor. And the governor in Judea is like a king because it's a foreign entity. It's no different than the British occupied the Bahamas until we got independence in 1973. Same system. No different. No different. Just different people in a different time. So Pontius Pilate was the governor, right? And he was the judge, jury, and executioner, right? In today's time, we have a governor general who sits in parliament, and he is appointed by our Bahamas government, but the name governor general itself, he or she, the governor general, remains governor general. Only political party puts in a different people to become governor general. But the name itself is an agreement between the Bahamas government and England to always have a governor. It's the same as back thousands of years ago when Christ got crucified. No different. And many of you who are in the Christian field and go to a Roman Catholic Church, unknowingly, you're serving the same entity. Because it's a believer's voice. Christianity came after that. Because the oldest church in the world is in Ethiopia. And the second oldest church is in Russia, the Orthodox Church. You understand? So the oldest church in the world is in Ethiopia. The second oldest is in Russia, and both are Orthodox Church. The oldest college in the world is in part two. You understand? So I think this has an effect on us. And we need to understand that the Bible speaks about us. The Bible tells story about what happened. It tells story about King David. It tells story about Samson. It tells story about Solomon and Gomorrah. And if we look at Solomon and Gomorrah, it was destroyed because we did what? That particular nation did what? Sinned terribly against God. They became an orgy state where man were going with man, woman were going with woman. There were killing, there were rapes. There were no respect for children. They were sodomizing kids, you know, sleeping with animals, you know. And if you look at what the United Nations are trying to incorporate our government, you know, they're aiming for same-sex marriage, transgender, you know, gender, this new gender, equality, destroy the family, destroy the man, you know? So I hope the people who are Christians and they call themselves Christian understand who they are and what international organizations are trying to do to our country. And we got to fight. I want to remind you, the Father says, the least you do for the poor, you do for me. We could play the voice video, please. If you could. Our audience could hear it, right? Okay, go ahead. Those who are listening.
Knowledge. Since Israelites are from Bedouin Yemen, the southern Arabian Peninsula, they're a dark-skinned population, which establishes that Jacob and Joseph also had dark skin. And since Moses was born to Israelite parents, then Moses was dark-skinned. Now, Beit al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, and Bethlehem are on the Abyssinian highlands, where Moses settled with the Israelites, and then Jesus, who was sent as a prophet to the Israelites after Moses was born in Bethlehem in Abyssinia. This establishes that Jesus was dark-skinned, born to Mary, a dark-skinned mother. Jesus was not a European person with blue eyes, straight hair, and Caucasian features, as featured in many of today's churches. It's obvious that all those prophets, including Jesus, had very dark skin and their hair was black and curly. They had a southern Arabian, Abyssinian type of feature because, as the Quran said, offspring, one of the other, and God is hearing, knowing. And another verse, God chose Adam, Noah, the family of Abraham, this knowledge.
So if you listen, there's a specific line that was chosen, that God chose to keep his commandments, and we are that tribe. And we have lost our identity because, you know, we were rampaged by foreign entities who came after our way of life because it was such a perfect way of life. It offended them that we were living accordingly. And it offended them to see that we had a family structure. Whites on Iran, they didn't have no family structure. They were like wild beasts. And there are many cults today that are still performing these rituals. Because people don't understand how serious this goes. When people are reading the book, I ask the Father for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I ask him for bravery to know fear no man. So I see things, and I ask him to give me the wisdom to interpret it, and that's what I'm doing here today. You know, Moses were black, Samson were black, Jesus was black, but yet still our churches today, you know, still have an image of a white Christ on church when they know this is true. Could we play the next flick, please? Next video, please, if we could. You think we could play the next one, please?
Repeatedly offered $1,000 to anyone who can prove to me from the Bible alone that I am bound to keep Sunday holy. There is no such law in the Bible. It is a law of the Holy Catholic Church alone. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Catholic Church says, no. By my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep holy the first day of the week. I have repeatedly offered 1,000...
Okay, you listen to that? So the Catholic Church decides to go against God's word, and they're going against the Sabbath day. And that doctrine has been passed on to us here in the Bahamas when we forget about the Sabbath is Saturday. But we have many churches, the majority of churches who are under the Roman Catholic, who goes against God's word. These are God's word. But they go with man's word. See, you can't mix God's word with man's word. God says, hold the Sabbath, holy. Man, who were the enemy of God, conquered, changed the law, falsified the law. Now we are here celebrating the Sabbath on a Sunday. So if we are Christian and we're not following God's word, then bad things will happen to us. Because it is in the book saying one thing, the same book that each and every one who so-called Christians, they read that the Sabbath is supposed to be held on a Saturday. But many people celebrate on a Sunday. And the God is truth. Same phrase as he is saying, you know, the least you do for the poor, you do for me. We do the reverse in the churches. We give tithes to the church and goes through the pastor. But according to me, when I read, the church was designed to gather the tithes to see that everyone's need was met. So the church that was built back in the day when there were believers was built by a community of people, rich, middle class, poor. And it was designed that when we establish it, we saw certain problems in the community of poverty. So the way to help do the least for the poor, they decided, let's have tithes. And they would donate, and the money would go to the little girl house and mother who was fatherless, or a single parent mom, or a single parent father. And that's what I say, every need was met. And that's the real church. Now, some churches in the country are doing that. But the vast majority is not doing that. And these little simple points I'm making that are more important than all the scriptures you can read. You feeling me? Because Christ knew what he was saying. And God knew, talking to man, what you say? When you say, the least you do for the poor, you do for me. Because he know, if you do for the poor, hey, you will solve a lot of solutions in the near future. Because if you give to that family there, he could see in the future that the assistance he got from those people, those caring people, the country, would help educate that kid, teach him what's right from wrong. You would appreciate people when people stop and talk to him because people have made it possible for him to eat, for him to go to school, and for him to have a better life. So he becomes and grows into a better young man or a young girl. And they become a father and a mother married, and they grow up their good kids to become productive citizens. And that's what it is supposed to be in the country. Okay? That's how it's supposed to be in the Bahamas. And I hear a lot of people saying this is a Christian nation. The Bahamas was a Christian nation. And there are people who are holding Christian values and doing a tremendous job with their family. They're doing tremendous with their church activities and doing things accordingly to God. But the bad outnumber the good in this country. But they say we're a Christian nation. We're not a Christian nation. Not the Bahamas. We have lost that identity. Until we could regain that identity again, then we could speak and say we's a Christian nation. But as it stands right now, showing the statistics in crime, showing the statistics in poverty, showing the statistics in child abuse, showing the statistics in rape, showing the statistics on the corruption going on with our government, showing the statistics of us as an individual harming and cursing and backstabbing one another, concerning the divorce, the most divorce going back the last 2 years in this country, I don't see so much Christian about this nation. While there are good people who do have good intentions, but I think we have lost our identity, and we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Brown. How are you doing, sir?
Good afternoon to you, sir. I'm fine.
Yeah, respect. I was listening to the show just now, and you was talking about how, like, our lives kind of, like, intertwined with the Bible. And I was thinking that, well, I mean, for me personally, I always wondered how could the Bible be a historical book if there's no dates in it? You know, I always wonder how come there are no dates? How come there are no dates of when individuals were born? Or when they died, etc. You know, but but the thing I wanted to say is this: the story with Moses, because I think that's one of the stories that we could most relate to. How his people were in Egypt for like 400 plus years, like how our people, like our black people, was in slavery for 400 plus years.
Yes, sir.
But the thing about it is that what did they do? What was the first thing Moses did when he freed them from bondage? He took them into the wilderness, right?
Yes, sir.
But what was that for? That process was so that he could purge from them
the
ways of the Egyptians.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And put in them the ways of their forefathers. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so my question is, we as black people, we've been in slavery for 400 plus years, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, we're supposed to be free,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Now, when did we go in the wilderness to purge from us the ways of our oppressors and bring on the ways of our forefathers? When did we do that? We never did that.
No.
And that's how come Christopher Columbus remained like a hero figure in school,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera. That's how come everything remained the same.
Yes,
didn't change. You know, the education system remained the same. All
yes,
these things remain the same because we have yet to cast off the ways of our oppressor,
yes, sir,
and take on the ways of our forefathers.
Yes, sir.
You see, so all the talk, everything we're talking right now is like really, it ain't really, could take us nowhere.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Because we're still in the world of
yes,
our
sir.
Oppressor.
I agree.
You understand? The teachings we're using, everything we're using, we're trying
it's
to
our
use
oppressor.
Their, you know, we're trying to use their way to you know what I mean, to fix
our way. Bridges, yes,
sir. We can't do that.
Yes, sir.
You see, you understand where I'm coming from, right?
Yes, sir.
Now there are a lot of other things I could ask you about, like bring about when it comes to the Bible. But like I say, for me, one of the most like troubling things is that an encyclopedia has dates in it.
Yes, sir.
An encyclopedia is an actual factual history book. It's, you know what I mean?
Yes,
you know what I mean? But the Bible has none.
Mm.
You understand where I'm coming from, right?
Yes, sir.
So how could a book be historical when there are no dates in it?
Mm. I understand.
You understand where I'm coming from, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, but like I said before, though, but
you make
to
good
me,
sense.
If we, the Bible can still be interpreted in a way where it can be to our benefit.
Yes, it is.
You understand where I'm coming from? Like I say, just like how I just used the story with Moses, because like I said, there are no other people in the world who can show where their people experience was like that of ours and the people of in Egypt, because we were taken from our
yeah.
land, you know, to a foreign land, to a people speaking a language we don't know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
No other people around here could show you that.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, sir.
Even though you spoke about not the dates, but do you believe that the book speaks about us or a different race?
Well, I know where it come from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know where it come from. So I know it is our story.
Our story. You would agree it's our story.
Yes, sir, but even the story is a story.
Yes.
You understand where you're coming from?
Mm.
Like, even the story is a story. You see, you know what I mean? What's most important, though, is that we are able to live, like you said before, but with a certain system.
Principle.
Of, like, decency and harmony with nature and that which is closest to the
preserving
way.
Preserving animals, and not killing animals. Like,
no,
how we
no, you know what I mean? You know
like
what
we're
mean?
Going in Africa. And, you know, people are going and just killing all animals. You know, we never used to do those stuff.
No. I mean, like, you know, we have a lot of ways that were brought in from the foreigners.
Yes.
You know, that kind of way.
Yes,
and,
sir. We on the same page, man. Yeah, man.
But like I said before, I mean, like, I just wanted to bring that story.
No,
to
man,
the
it's,
one,
it's
how,
wonderful.
Since you was talking about how our lives, like, so in line with the Bible, I wanted to bring the one with Moses and ask the question, well, when did we as a people go into the wilderness to cast off the ways of our oppressor and to gain the ways of our forefathers? We have yet to do that, you see.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So, but I appreciate the show, man, Scrooge, and I respect you and the point of views you bring, and I just want you to like, don't bow, man. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
don't be afraid. Even they got to kick you off the radio.
No, sir. That is not about
you. You know what I mean? Stand your ground.
That is not me. I'm about doing what's right. And I have been given a job. And if people out there don't understand where I was given a job from, it came from the universe. And I have a task to do. And nothing out there could deter me from my task.
Like you say, the space where you belong don't exist until you created it.
Yes, sir.
Respect, man.
Thank you very much.
Yes, man. Much love.
Yeah, man. You did a wonderful job. You know, and we need people like that to talk. And you heard them say it reflects on us. And I would agree on everything you're saying. You know, the dates and time are not there. And, you know, all we have is the stories. But it adds up to us because that was written back in centuries ago. But we are the people the book talked about. You know, and the people who fought against the father, not all Europeans. Like I said, there's a cult. You know, the Ku Klux Klan in the United States of America. That's the extremist group who despise is God's people. Why is we don't despise them? You know? And that has been going around for centuries. And that still is going on and on and on. Because that's the hatred a race of people have. And that's not all. You know? So we have to be able to protect ourselves here in the country. We can play the last video, please. And this is what happened to your country. You could be the most powerful country in the world, but when you start to go against the morals of the father, eventually you will start to lose your country from within. And these are some of the things that happens to you when you indoctrinate certain laws in your country, which you don't need in your country, following other people's country and following their lifestyle. This is what has happened. Go ahead.
The West has fallen. I say it particularly because in 2003, the United States legalized sodomy. In 2015, they legalized homosexual marriage. And here we are in 2022, featuring the ultimate degradation of homosexuality, which is drag queens in elementary schools, grooming kids to be as perverted as a male could possibly be. And the government is demanding acceptance for these people, if not making them the priority. Where you have homosexuality, you have the end of a culture. When it is legalized the way it has been in this country, when it is normalized so that they can be married, and when it is praised and elevated, you know the culture has fallen. When I say...
And that's what's going on in the United States of America. A great nation. They had an idea about conquest in the world. They're about peace and love. And all of a sudden now they abandon the father. And now you see they become lovers of themselves. See, when the Bible tells you lovers of themselves, that's what they're referring to. And you start to add these laws onto your country and you start to destroy your population. You know, you're talking about transgender education in the school. We all know that a child born starts to creep, even when it's first born and sees its mother and father or sees its family. It starts to emulate what he sees. And as the child grows, starts to educate itself with its surrounding. And you're going to try tell me now, you're going to have people who live in a certain lifestyle, adopt a child at an early age, and they're going to see two men together or two women together, and this child is innocent. This child is innocent, and this child is going to grow up in this environment and don't have a choice. So this child is going to indoctrinate what he or she sees, and then that'll be a next generation of morals gone. I'm not discriminating on the transgender, but let me explain what happens. In the Tribune, we have your Fair and Discrimination Forced a 21-year-old transgender woman to flee the Bahamas for Canada. Desiree Johnson told the Tribune she moved to Canada on March when discrimination began to take a toll on her mental health. She said she spent many days locked inside her home because she feared being judged or physically harmed. It was days where I would even want to step outside, she said, because every time you go somewhere, it's people cursing you, judging you, or a person wanting to fight you for who you are. So that's just the public. Then you have to go home and deal with your hypothetic family. It's a lot, you know. I wasn't accepted on no side, mother or father. Transgender has become a significant source of political debate in the United States recently, with conservative states moving to curb rights for people who identify as transgender. See, I just want to say this. We live in a violent society, okay? And this is looks like a young man, and then he decides he wants to be a female. So what happened is we live in this violent society where some of us still have the principle of a man and a woman. And I'm not discriminating against anybody. Like I said, if that's your lifestyle, that's your lifestyle. You keep that in your private life. And then you're trying to make it law and make it known. No, that can't work. You understand? You could fight for rights. But some rights shouldn't affect others. So, let me just say this. I think it's Desiree is a young male, and I guess wants to, it's a female now, so I don't know, it's a mix-up, I don't know. It's transgender woman, okay? And saying that she's being discriminated on. See, it makes it very difficult in a wider society. So that's why it's so difficult. There's a party going on, people, different age, category, the party, nightclub. It's for people, boyfriend, girlfriend, and it's so mixed up now. You still can see girls with girls and boys with girls in these clubs, you know. There's so much folly going on right now. So let me just put that in there too. So we have a transgender man dressed as a female. So if you have a straight guy or straight guys and they're in the nightclub, mind you now, we a violent nation. Mind you, some of these young men don't have no discipline, you know, but they still have their principle, you know. So you can mind seeing a fine young lady standing up over there, right? And you make your move. is this lady, I mean, this transgender, is going to identify and say to this young gentleman, I'm a male, and I dress as a woman, I'm a transgender. Is he going to say this to this person when they first meet? Now, if this young guy is not told this, and then true gossip is sip up, and just say for the first night, and I'm kissing or hugging, and then we say, we meet later, take a photo, and then this person sees this photo. The next day, and someone say, hey, you know, that's not a girl, that's a transgender. You can imagine what you think is going to be the response of the young male. No. Is it his fault for approaching a female who look like a female? Is it his fault that when he finds out that he just kissed or went out with the next male who dresses a female? What do you think is going to be his response? Let me give you a prime example. We had an incident a few months ago where we, as a country, we want to come up with the app to put the sexual predators out there to make sure that the community and the country knows that this is a sexual predator out there and he's just been released from jail. And his photo went up. Up to the state, the police can't find his killers. But his photo went up. And then in a matter of a week, the minute his photo gone up, he was found dead. That is because when his photo went up, he probably was walking through a specific neighborhood and some young guys saw his photo up. And they were probably sitting down smoking, could be doing whatever they want to do. Group of them, just see him pass and say, hey, boy, that's the, you know, I'm going to say, they say, that's the sissy nigga who do this and do that. And they instantly get mad and they get irate. And they attacked him and he was found dead. And this is all news, and that's why they took down the sexual offender's profile. Because of that incident right there. So if you want to be a transgender, you have to look for a person who is transgender or a transgender club or wherever they're having these kind of function where you don't be victimized. Because it's very dangerous for you to go in an environment where people are coming on to one another. Because many most people go, if they're not with their boyfriend or girlfriend or they two girls or two boys, it could be very dangerous for you if you buck a person who's single and straight. So you'll define the company that you keep. You'll define that environment that you keep. And we're talking about violence against women in this country. And everyone's jumping on this violence against woman, 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 woman. But I never heard them make up this point. What about the two sissy ladies, the butch and whatever they call it, what about when they're fighting and they're a woman? Are one of them going to be classified as man or one of them going to be classified as woman? Because if I do my own statistics and listen to the police report, there's so much complaint coming in with same-sex violent fights. No, mean two women or two men, domestic disputes. And most of the time, it's between two girls, two females, and they're stabbing, they're killing one another in this country. They were shooting in this country. So we're talking about, I just said it just now. So we are talking about, what I was just saying, like, what the way this man, you know, because I have to interpret these things, so you gotta bear in mind, you know, because it's a touchy subject. You know? Think about that. You know? So you have to keep that environment, you know? And like I say, it's the females now who are involved in violent crimes when it comes to domestic disputes now in this country. Same sex. I hope this on your survey. So you're pushing for all these woman rights and violence against women. Now, I'm not again. Now, hold on. Listen to me now. The guys who are killing the woman, I ain't down with that. I ain't down with that. I don't think no woman should be violated. Okay? But that gender thing, that is not a good idea for us in the country. So I want these Christians in this country to get this gender topic out of the Bahamas. Because everyone is getting killed in this country. And if you look at it right now, females are the ones who have the most domestic dispute right now in this country. And ask the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Ask them how much complaint they get against two girls who are what you call, man, this is all mixed up thing. I don't even like to talk about a girlfriend or the butch, whatever it is. They always fighting, stopping, and go to all the nightclubs and you'll see these things and look in the police report, but they don't want to talk about these things. So we're talking about violence against women. And you're pointing towards the man. But what about the females out there who are fighting their partners who are females just like them? And I ain't nothing about this in this country. Y'all just want to jump on the man. You know? But y'all ain't looking at the fact that many females out there having domestic dispute with their own gender. So let me use your word. The female gender who are lovers and in love with one another, they're fighting and stabbing and having disagreement on a regular basis because they mix right up because they end up having different partners. They get more domestic dispute than a husband and a wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend. Why they ain't talking that? And like I say, I'm not discriminating against no one. I'm telling you, if you're doing good, if you're doing these things, don't expect it to be law in the country. Do it in your own, do it in your house, do it privately. Because we have children growing up in this country. And many of you who are same sex, who are in relationships, y'all don't want your children to be a part of what y'all are part of. Many of you says this, y'all don't want your children to be like y'all. You understand? Because y'all know deep down inside that's y'all personal desire. That is not everyone personal desire. And I hope this so-called Christian nation that we live in, y'all speak on these things. Because we ain't so Christian life, because we ain't doing nothing for the least amongst us. You know, because you're not doing God's work. You know, you're thinking church sitting on, the church that you sit down and build, you're fallen Alexander the Great. Jesus Christ himself, who we call Yahshua, he was a carpenter. He went into the highways and byways into people's homes. And he helped change the lives and he helped so many people. Why is he fixing the cupboard? He's building the table. He went inside and see their problems. And he helped fix the windows. He fixed the chairs. He fixed the leaking roof. He do all his stuff because that's his job. And he's the most powerful man in the world. And he's doing the least set of things. My suggestion to the church, if you say you talk about Christ, and Jesus Christ was not a Catholic. He was not an Anglican. He was not a Seventh-day Adventist. Okay? He just was a man sent from his father to come do his father's work on this earth. So my suggestion to church, if you want to see a decline and you want to say we as a Christian nation again, here's my suggestion to each and every one of you out there. You have a big congregation. There's many churches, St. Agnes, East Street Gospel Chapel Church, and then close to 5,000 churches in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas with some very powerful pastors who are connected to members of Parliament, who are connected to some of the richest set of people in the world. Make it your business now to do the same thing that Jesus did because he was a carpenter. And he went to these people's houses because some of these people were paralyzed. Some of them not no food in their house. Some of them turned their back on God because of the hard times. But when Jesus went in there, he brought them the light again. He showed them what it is that his father talked about. And he applied it. Feed them. Fix their roof. Fix their door. Talk to the kids. those who are going astray, by his presence, changed them, and they became better people, and they started to give back. And before he passed away at the age of 33, he changed the mindset of millions of people. He made the Romans, who had millions of troops and almost conquered the whole world, he brought them down by showing love and doing his father's work. He didn't brought them down with no weaponry. He could have snapped his finger and brought the army from heaven, come down and slaughter them, but he did not. He came down here and he did the simple stuff, and he died for each and every one of us. So my suggestion to all the churches in the community, y'all are separate. And that's why y'all can't get a grip on this country's crime problem, country's the country's divorce problem, the country's child abuse problems, because y'all don't go on the highways and byways, and you got to do a different ministry now. People would love to see you come to their house where there's no light, no grocery, no one is working, house is leaking. If you do your survey and you start to instruct your members, those who have it, to let's survey this community that we live in. Let's partner with the next church. Let's partner with the Revenue Department of Government. And let's go in this community and raise a budget. And let's do a survey of this community, of these homes. And let's go in there and spend 1 month on this block, this community. And each Sunday, or each day we have to do our church service, instead of doing the church, go minister to one of these houses. In that house, you would find a young man who was troubled, or a young girl who was troubled. And by you going there, and you helping them to fix their house, help them get a job, help them change their mindset and show them that we care and be consistent about it. And then you help these people. Then you go to the next street in your vicinity, and you keep on doing this. And this is the ministry now. You're going to have the ministry to people houses. You're going to have to go in these houses, because the houses is where these at-risk young girls, young boys, where children are being abused. And then when you start to go in these houses, you'll see the abuse. And then someone in the church and some of the congregation would start to say, you know what, I'm going to adopt this child. You know? And we got to show love. And that's the only way we're going to do it. And that's the church job. Canvas your area. Go into these homes. Stop having these services inside the church. Do your survey. Don't be afraid. Walk the streets. Come to houses. And in these houses, you would find the killers. You would find the rapists. And you'd find the abusers. And they would bow to you. Because each and every one of us, at the end of the day, still respect God. No one's going to curse a pastor or the church members that come to offer assistance. That's the church job now. Go on the highways and byways like Christ. He was a carpenter, and he helped millions of people with a little he have. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
You're doing a lot of talking tonight.
Yes, I am.
You know, wow, you almost sound as if you were sent there with a divine message that you had to get off your chest.
I did. You might not believe it. I did.
Yeah, that's how it feels. I can feel that. And I also, I mean, because you're just, it's just coming off, rolling off your tongue.
It is.
Wow.
It is.
So, based on your information, because you're on the street and you feel it and you hear it, are you finding that we have a lot of homosexual violence in the Bahamas nowadays?
Yes, we do. If you go around the nightclubs, they are mostly females fighting.
Wow.
That's what's going on in our country.
You know, they love very hard.
Yes,
and they're very quick to harm.
Yes,
for any type of indiscretion, or if they feel as if they've been slighted. But, you know, boy, this is a tough one because, I mean, the violence obviously is not a good thing because I think that's all over the world. But,
yes.
You know, the world is changing, and I know people say that, but, I mean, do we really have to change with it to that extent? I
don't agree.
Boy, I don't agree
with that.
I don't think we have to,
it could change, but we don't have to change all the rules just to fit the world.
True, very true. So the rules should actually continue to benefit the masses.
Yes, because we all know what happened. We all know what happens. If you see the breakdown on America right now, you could see countries now are pulling away from them and not doing business with them because they have found out that, you know, what they were all about. And that's also a judgment from the universe. And it was predicted that America will fall. And if you see it right now, not by warfare, you know, they're going to get beat within. That means they're going to have curses, they're going to have plagues and stuff like that. So if we go with the international world and we start to pass same-sex marriage, we will be in the same position in the next 50 years in the country.
Yeah. Have you had any discussions with any of the persons from any of the homosexuals that follow the homosexual, that believe in the homosexual following, about how they reconcile their behavior with the fact that the Bible says man was made for, woman was made for man, and vice versa?
They don't believe in that. You know, people are ideology in their own ways. You know, they don't believe in that. They believe in what they believe in. You understand?
Yeah.
They believe in what they believe in. They believe that is a story and that don't apply to them.
Right. Yeah, it's curious to me, though, because, you know, in the States, they have bishops who are homosexual women in these Anglican churches. And that's, like, very confusing to me, especially if you consider that the Bible says woman is for man and man is for woman.
Well, let me put it like this, miss. The word of God is different from man, and man has decided to do these things off their own. You understand? So they put God's word aside. And they use their word and make it as law. And we have a choice here in the country to understand that you cannot challenge God's word and then make God's word less value than the man. Because if you listen, what I was saying now. Go ahead, ma'am.
No, I'm done. That's all I had to say. That was my input.
Okay.
But I just wanted to call in because, like I said, you were just talking. It was just flowing. I was like, wow, it's as if he just came in tonight and it was like he just was brought there to just say with this particular stuff.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. I'm going to say this. Remember my lifestyle as a young boy, I was a very violent person. I caused a lot of harm in the country because I had a mindset, you know. And as I realized over the last, say, as I started to change my mindset, I got rid of that violence. I started to forgive people. I was very violent. I was very hateful. I had a lot of vengeance in my heart. And as I started to change that, my mindset started to change. Now, being starting to get a more connection with the Father, and He must be directing me, even with the topics I have on the show. And today, like you say, Mom, it was Him told me to come and speak about this today.
Yeah, I heard your interview with Steve McKinney, and I really enjoyed it. I actually wanted to call in, but I couldn't get through.
Okay.
I don't know if his phone lines weren't working.
Oh,
but,
boy.
I always enjoy hearing your story and your friend who normally comes in as well, who had a very similar background as
Nate.
Nate, exactly.
Yes.
I enjoy hearing those stories because it's just remarkable to me that you guys were in the trenches the way that you were, and you were exposed. And I think on the Steve McKinney show, you actually said that you've been shot at 24 or 26 times?
Yeah, I've been shot at from 24 different guys who were just like me, and I've been shot at four different occasions from the Royal Bombers Police Force, which no time I was never hit with a stray bullet.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And this is why, because you're here today to tell your story.
Yes, ma'am.
And to try and turn others around, but... You know, it's just amazing. It's amazing to me that, you know, you guys are in the trenches like that. And I think if you guys could pull yourself up from that experience.
Yes.
That others can do it. So are you finding that your message is resonating or having some impact with those persons in the community who are similar to you? Are you finding that you're making a difference?
Well, you might not believe this. Over the course of my journey of changing from a person who was involved in violent gang, leading one of the major gangs in the country, and becoming a community leader, I've seen tremendous progress, especially in our community. And a lot of persons who I knew were in a lifestyle would sit down and talk to their children and tell their children, listen to the show, listen to Scroogey. That was my enemy. So their children would come and talk to me and say, my dad, know you when I'm walking, they say, you know me? This is my dad. And he told me this, and I said, nice to meet you. So yes, ma'am, it is making a great impact.
Oh, good. I mean, I'm glad to hear that because you have persons who live in New Providence, Nassau, believe it or not, and they have no clue as to what's happening in these parts of Nassau.
Yes, yes.
The police, they things happen, but only like 10% of what happens gets reported.
Yes.
Because if not, they would scare the community and you wouldn't come out of your house.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I just encourage you, and what I heard your interview with Steve McKinney, and I smiled, and when you said this, was that you've provided counsel to almost every minister of national security.
Yes.
Up to now, and I actually was trying to call and tell you that you need to run as the next minister of national security. But, I mean, you're not going to run for that post. You need to run so that you can be appointed the next minister of national security.
That's what I was saying. Makes sense. It makes sense. I'm glad you have a lot of faith in me. Now I know how the future holds, Now I know I might get out of post where I could even assist the Minister of National Security like I did Tommy Terrence and a few ministers. So you never know. You know, it's for the benefit of the country because you need persons who have an IQ on what needs to happen in the country.
Correct.
Yes.
Have you ever actually been to prison?
Yeah, let me explain. I've been to prison twice. And in my journey, 3 weeks in prison. Because I spent 3 weeks in prison on remand because the judge remanded me because the judge said that they needed to look at my background and et cetera. Then the second time I spent 2 weeks. Now listen to this, and I did some horrible stuff in the country, but I was a very smart criminal minded. I needed no evidence. That's
but
how smart I was.
Smart. You got to be smart to not get caught.
Yeah, I was very smart. I was very smart. That's why I'm still a smart person. I was community development. I have answers to a lot of the country's problem. But when I was on the street, I do my homework. Before I do anything, I do my homework.
Yeah.
So that's why I was never spent a long time in prison. Like all the other guys I raised up, they went to prison 15, 20 years. Many more were dead. But I never spent no longer than 3 months in prison.
Wow, yeah. I remember as an eighth grader in high school, we went on a field trip to PMH.
Uh-huh.
And we went to the maximum security. And to this day, I can remember the sound of that gate closing. You know, that section where you come in.
Yeah.
And that's that holding section you come through. And then you have to wait for one gate to close for the next gate to
it's
open.
It's a different world. It's a different world when you're in there. I feel like you was in a different world.
Correct. And yes. I still remember to this day the sound of those gates closing. And the whole, the area they call death row. Wow, that is serious for people to be living like that.
Yes, and that's what it is in our country, And if we could get the pastors, they preaching the word of God, they need to go and get together as a group and continue to go up there and take groups and deal with these individuals and have a prep talk with them and find them and bring their children and just find some type of relationship with some of these guys getting tried with these serious offenses and take them under their wing. And that's what we need. We need ministry full force at the prison.
Yeah, and the death row section, there's no working toilets. The gentleman had slop buckets. It was, oh my gosh. I still remember that visit to this day, and I am well beyond grade 8 now. Mm. Well beyond.
Yes.
And I still remember that visit. That had such an impact on me because, wow.
Yes.
I don't know what to say, but I mean, I think prison reform is important too because you have to rehabilitate. You can't just put them in there, incarcerate them when they come out.
That is not the Christian way. If we are preaching Christianity, it's not the Christian way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the Christian way.
But the conditions have to be somewhat humane. You can't rehabilitate with inhumane conditions.
But we are Christian.
But we're a so-called Christian nation. That's why I don't understand that. We are so... Go ahead.
That's for a human being, a humane person to come out of that process, of that system.
That just going backwards.
Yeah. But no, I learn a lot from listening to your show, especially when Nita says, well, but just from you generally. But I listened also and I enjoyed the Steve McKinney interview.
Okay.
But I just continue to do it because even if you just change one soul,
yes.
I mean, that's one more than if you had not done it, you know? But I hope that the youth, I hope we can get a handle on some of this crime.
Yes.
It seems that every day someone else is being murdered.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But anyway.
Thank you very much. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, feel free to call in anytime because we want you guys to express yourself on the show because that's what the Inside the City is, Inside the Inner City is all about.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I agree. Okay, thank you.
Have a wonderful night.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Yeah, got a text. Great show as usual. We have a Christian motto, but no, we are not a Christian nation. Look how we treat each other. We so messed up in the head. We call gay liberals. We call rape only God now. What we kill, we believe in. Sweethearting, people in this country just don't care. Anything. Boy, anything goes. We have a next caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Yeah, bless this school, Jay. Inside the Inner City.
Yes, sir.
And guess what? You know, the thing is with you, right? You know, they make you mad, right? But I just get up. Anytime you see me miss your show, I work hard and I just lay down. But I just get up to listen to you.
Yeah, thank you,
right? I don't call all the time. You know what I'm saying?
But you always contribute, man. Thanks
a lot. Yeah, but listen to me. What I'm saying is, like I said, you know, my parents died a while back. And it's a place out east, right? But it's a lot of the millions are dying, right? And so I was promising Ali that I needed to give you some.
Yes,
so I don't know if you want me to drop some there, because there's still a good amount up there. And, the dogs in the yard, you just be destroying them. I could just give you some, because I only plan on keeping a few, and then I deal them with fruit trees, etc.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
That'd be fine. I need you to come check my place too, man.
But you have to dock to some of them, because you know what I mean?
Don't worry, they haven't gotten. You need to come. I want you to come see me so you can look at the restaurant and say, how much table and chairs I could get from you.
Yeah, man. You know it,
okay.
Right, just good.
Going
to 52. You know, this topic is timely, right? But me and you could always relate to one another because, you know, we, you know, like, I ain't got no show like you, so I even just didn't want people to even know my, like, what I all about because people believe, like, just some saint just pop up here and there. But, you know, some things you got to keep low. But we have gotten this into this quagmire, right? The social quagmire, even socioeconomic and all, right, Scoochie? Because years and years of neglect, you know.
Yes,
that's
neglect.
When I listen to the young lady call us now, and, you know, she didn't even understand the repercussions which she had on my mind, right? You know, you been there before, I been there before, but, you know, there's carry there, right? You don't go there, I ain't going there. They carry there on the bus, right? And so then she talked about that row. And so, you know, there's just was the whole of maximum to me. I knew never had no toilets, right? But it was slop bucket, even in the G block and the bulkhead and all them places. They saw a big fan in the hallway, roach in the front, rats in the back, chungus in the alley with the baseball bat, right?
And what else going on in the prison?
But I mean, like, you could see in the hallway in the morning all the garbage out in the hallway that people, the prisoners just use and throw in the hallway. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, 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 I know.
You could smell the stench. And so, you know, of course the bucket, the slop bucket, et cetera. And the slop bucket is always a weapon, you know. But when you get sick in jail, you come out to the greater society, but you cannot rehabilitate if you're full of hate. You see what I'm saying?
That's right. And a lot of people
are. Just what the youths are experiencing now. And Scoochie, I mean, me and you know, it was a little bit of you. It was a little bit, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you had more sense, man. You some, they drinking one another blood. Seriously, man.
Yeah, man. You know what happened? You talk about the decay. The Christian values. All that's going out the picture now. People ain't showing no more love.
For that young wake, man. And then, you know, I was by a restaurant today and a young man, but he was, you know, they, a lot of the youths, I'm saying, they, you know, they, like, you know, me and you from time immemorial, I think us as a people, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no covalency amongst us. Like, we, let's say, even for the implementation of body cams, et cetera. I made a joke on the chat group that we should have a dash cam in the front and one in the back. Mm. You know, because, you remember when you ran the story about the little general case?
Yeah.
The
call it coming to you soon in a minute.
The chronology. But I don't know if you know, but Elvis Stem. I remember Elvis Stem, some police officers who got caught with silencer back in the 80s. You know Elvis Stem.
Yeah,
So it's all kind of a little different. See, the thing is, me and you, the public, are not privy to insubordinations by officers. But they are coming out to police me and you, and they come from our communities. And so within every community, everybody knows details about one another, and they come from the same schools, et cetera, et cetera. So there has to be some, so the idea of, and people might get mad, you know, but foreign, they did it before, foreign cops, you know, because there's some type of intervention. It's really, some stories even don't even corroborate in all schools.
Yeah, just, I know.
It's like us as a people, right? We can't even make up our minds that we want the police to carry body cams for their benefit and our benefit. The other night, it was this and that, so we could have seen how the prisoner, how the people in the car escape or whatever. It's just accountability. We don't have that. We don't want that, Scoozy. We're not, people who live in Ivy Towers should be calling for that, because then anyone is targeted. I was by a restaurant today, like I said. So a certain gangster walk in. I knew him, and then one of his friends is being deceased, was killed on this avenue. So we had a little conversation, because I like to engage the ghetto youth, because they know me as a senior man, right? But the thing is, you have to understand, even in talking to him and don't know what he done do someone or whatever, how it be, I could be in danger by the restaurant.
What you mean?
So that's why I'm trying to show people them. So I mean, David had enough sense to say, well,
talk for a second and get out.
Rehabilitation and all that, right? But he said he don't care. But I think we should care, even though, I mean, I understand the sentiment. Excuse me, we know some of the ghetto youth, them head hard, right?
Well, we know.
But people even ain't ever humanize these ghetto stories. Let me give you one example.
Yeah, I know. I have my next call on the line, so.
Yeah, but I'm going to finish this, excuse
me. Yeah.
But when a guy moves from one area to the next area to the next area, what that makes him, Scoozy? A snitch right now. Back in the days, that wasn't so, because the different gangs are affiliated with different areas.
Yes.
So this person of the show, loyalty to this area where he moved from, or he otherwise is a snitch. And so this is an ongoing problem.
Yeah.
It's systemic. Bless up.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Come on, yeah.
Did a good job. Are we going to take this last call? Go ahead, caller. You've been there a little while. You're on Inside In the City. Caller, you there? Yeah, I guess they're still there. Carla, you there? I guess they are left. And like I said, you know, I'm not against nobody in their particular lifestyle. I'm just telling you, the father who makes the rule, who made all of us, he gave us free will. But he also gave us rules and regulations to abide by. And there are consequences for nations. There are consequences for individuals, you know, for not abiding by these rules and regulations. And just like how the United States has put sanctions on countries that don't abide by their ideology on the way they think, they put sanction on you. And the Father does the same thing. He takes away your blessing, you know. If you notice, you'd see a lot of Bible prophecy. You go look on Facebook, you see the Tigris River. It was prophesied that when the Tigris River dried up, right? And now the Tigris River is dried up, you would see they're walking on the ancient settlements that man didn't know nothing about. So I guess that was around the Great Flood time that water was there. Now the water's evaporated. If we look at what's going on in Antarctica, you know, if you look at what's going on in Japan, they're finding cities that is underwater. China, the same thing. So there was a great flood. And like I said, there's evidence to prove this. You know, everywhere you go where you see there's a desert, you could do this research yourself. Each and everyone who would listen to the show. So you don't have to believe me. But in the Sahara Desert, right, as high as the mountain is, they're finding clam shells. They're finding fish bone. They're finding shark teeth. Now, the Sahara Desert is being dried for thousands of years, but yet still, they're finding shark teeth. They're finding fish fossil. They're finding clam shells in the millions. So it proves to you that there was once water there. Okay? So there are consequences, whether you believe it or not. For me, why I believe. Here's why, talking to people. I know personally, a couple times guys shot at me. There's no way possible that I did not get hit. You know, because people who were my friends got shot and killed on the side of me. And the guy's target was not them, but me. I have had guys run at me, shoot 4.5, two, you know it's 4.5? 45 caliber handguns. And guys like Marvin Bodie and Nathan Butler. Nathan Butler now is deceased. He got killed alongside his two sons. His sons got also got killed, but he got killed. And him and Bob were both partners. And I had all the cases with my friend who shot some, fired some shots at them, shoot one of their friend. And they ran after me shooting 2.45 caliber. Them bullets were as big as my thumb. And these guys ran at me, and the two of them were shooting at me. And all the bullets just grazed me. But there's no way possible that I get in. But the father allowed me to come through. Next time I can remember, Franz Pascal, he was one of the leaders of the rebellion group after Kelsey Lundy. We had the altercation again when I made one of my friends shoot one of his friends. In retaliation, they came after me and my friend, my cousin Chicken and my boy Al. They shot at me. They shoot my friend Al in his leg. They fired about 8 shots at me running for my life. Bullet missed me. Shoot my cousin Chicken in his back. You know, and when we went back, we pick up like 15 shells. Mind you, that day, I got shot twice with shotgun on East Street in front of Big One, and I pick up pellets. So we don't really call pellets really shot, but it's just like a the shotgun was carrying pellets. I didn't hit with a box shot. I've been there to that. My cousin Tyen, there was a dispute. He got mad at me because I didn't help him out. He take a 38 pistol, loaded. This was in front of everyone, broad daylight. He took this 38 pistol, he put it to my stomach, he pressed the trigger 3 times. God is my witness. I wasn't afraid, you know, because back in the day I was very hot, you know, so when he pulled his gun on me, I was telling him, say, if you pull his gun on me, brother, you better shoot me. If you don't shoot me, I could do you, I don't want to say the word I say, but anyway, I could say I could kill you. And he pressed the trigger 3 times. Click, click, click. Gun ain't going off. When he looked at the gun, he couldn't believe it. He take the gun, he put the gun up in the air, and the gun went off, boom, boom. So I've been there to that so many times that I get to realize that there is a God, and he was protecting me, because at that time, many of my friends who wasn't even on the level as me were just getting killed. So there's nobody out there to tell me that there's no God, that there's no Jesus, that Abraham never existed, that Isaac never existed, that John never existed, that Peter never existed. They can't tell me Julius Caesar never existed. They can't tell me Alexander the Great didn't exist. Because just as the good live, the wicked live. He just changed the name of the prophets. And again, Jesus' name, original name, is Joshua. God's name, Yahweh. Yahweh today, translated in the Roman language, Greek, means God. Jesus. Yes, Joshua. So yes, you go punch it up. And if you don't believe me, look where the majority of the desert is in the world. See if it once was not land, then after the great flood, became a sea. So if you don't watch out here in the country, our blessings will get taken away. They say if a world war broke out today, or if a pandemic broke out today, the Bahamas is one of the 10 most safest places to live in the world. So we better treasure our country. You understand? And I'm going to say this again. Is the Bahamas a Christian nation? We are people in this country who keep the Christian value, keep the Christian faith in this country. And there are many people who are
Christians in the country.
But there are many in this country who are not doing, how I should say, God say, the least you do for the poor, you do for me. So if you're preaching the word of God and you're in a church and you're not going to these communities and see how people are living and try to assist them, you're not preaching the word of God. You're not doing God's work. If you're a pastor and your congregation you're not going on highways and byways, Jesus Christ was a carpenter. And the reason why he was a carpenter, because when he spread his father's words, he was going in the highways and byways in the same disabled people's house, the poor people's house, and he was going in there to show that, not just speaking about his father, he come in a physical form to show you that his father is real. His father says what he say, and he means it, and he loves you, and I'm a representative of my father. And to me, Jesus Christ, I am your salvation to get to the Father. And he came and poisoned the people's houses. So you can imagine at the age of 33, he died. But how many people's houses he went and fixed? How many people he ate meal with? How many people he inspired? How many people's lives he changed? How many people he changed from being, just look at the Ananias, the taxpayer, you know? He didn't come to change the law, you know. He came to change the people's heart and mind and to give back, and to give back the least. That's what Ananias was all about when he saw him in the tree. And he told him that you are a tax collector and you overtax the people of Israel and his people. And he made them change his heart. And he gave them back some of their funds because that's what Christ did. He didn't come to change the system because he knew the system is the world of demand. Of man. That's why the Father said, give unto Caesar what is due to Caesar. But give unto God what is due unto God. You all understand that? So to me, there are many good churches who are doing great work. But we need the churches to join. We need to see that you guys can make a difference in the prison. You guys can make a difference in the homes, in these inner city community by going door to door until you touch the whole community and minister. Sometimes just take the church and go to a specific home who lost a family member or someone who's in need is sick. What is for the church knowing this? Getting information from its congregation that there's a lady there, she's elderly, she needs some assistance, you need to see her house, you need to see how she has no running water, no toilet, and she's on her last leg. I thought Christians are supposed to pave the way for a lot of sinners to change their wicked ways and to bring people out of their wicked ways and bring them into the kingdom of God. And to do that now, who are claiming they're Christians and pastors, you're going to have to go into these homes now like Christ. Because I don't think you ought to be reading the book. I don't think none of you pastors is be reading the book, because if y'all reading this book, y'all will be doing what Christ was doing. Highways and byways in people's homes, in the schools, helping the children who don't have no shoes, who don't have no tablet, and who have no discipline. In the prisons. Huh? Talk to people who you see doing wrong and tell them the consequences of what is going to happen to you if you die. Because we are no Christian nation. We are a Christmas nation. We lost our way a very long time. And we have to regain that. But we can't regain it by how we are doing things now. And we're saying we're worshiping God, and the Bahamas is a Christian nation. And we're allowing people to talk about certain laws, not to discriminate, but certain laws that we ain't even supposed to be discussing because we are a Christian nation. And we know the penalty if we allow some of these laws to happen in our country. Solomon Gomorrah is supposed to be a prime example. And the world itself, forget about Solomon Gomorrah, the world itself
or described by the Father. And he keep one family who are the covenant. And he described the world because man was sleeping with cat, dog, goat, sheep, woman, man, beast. Maybe he's probably having sex with the bird. You can tell the difference between a female and a male. Killing, backstabbing, scheming, the wife married, she's scheming on the husband married, he's scheming on his wife, sweetheart, and all this crap. But the Father had enough, and he flooded the world. Now we back to square one, and we still here to understand what our true purpose is as a church and as a nation. Our job is to have the least amongst us. Because when we have the least amongst us, it makes us and blesses us with the Lord's blessing. Keeps us away from temptation because this human body, like Mars Manu say, is a dirt body. And if you allow this body to be vile, vile means like this. If you're a beautiful girl, why do you need to be sharing your coochie, sharing your breasts? You get on all kind of makeup and longer and you're a beautiful girl, but why are you sharing your body? Everywhere you walk, someone is looking at you. So if you have a boyfriend, right, you can tempt other guys because the clothes you wear is attractive. And you should not be wearing some of these clothes that our females wear because they're already beautiful. You understand? And some of the clothes that we wear and what we let our children wear, especially the young girls. You think some mothers need to put those tight clothes on their young daughters who just 5 and 6? Clothes tight up on them, you know, and stuff like that. No, man. No. Why are you trying to make the girl like a beauty pageant? Like she's some Beyonce. Come on, man. You teaching a young child at an early age to be a woman. So what you think is going to happen? Huh? Anyway. That's my 2 cents today, and I hope you enjoy the show. And it's no offense to nobody. Like I say, I'm speaking for God. I'm not worrying with man's word, all right? And I'm not a Christian, all right? I am a believer. That's what I am. And I see the wrong what's happening in our country. And all those people who say we are a Christian nation, apply it. All right? So you're saying you're a Christian? Apply it. Let's see how we can help one another to become a great nation again. Okay? So I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show, Inside Into the City of Mayors, every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. And be safe. And I hope you enjoyed the show. Tonight on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. La 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 la.
I represent Benin people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Benin, bro. Boy, I from Benin, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Benton, bro. Boy, I from Benton, bro. Ghetto. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you definitely find smoke. Benton, bro. Boy, I from Benton, bro. Benton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season.
cutlass, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people I from. Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke, Dayton.